course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too shabby, you know, just rocking and rolling. Heard a couple knocks at the door last night. I decided not to answer it, probably for the best.
Were they asking for Tamara? Or did you didn't even acknowledge? That's good.
I didn't even acknowledge it. Didn't want to jinx it.
Well, obviously, Ike's talking because today we are reviewing The Strangers Chapter 2. I will completely say, when I watched the original Strangers, it fucking freaked me out. And that night after I watched it in theater, me and Monica, we slept with the lights on as adults. Because that whole concept, and I've talked about this before, the whole concept of bad shit just happening randomly just because, which is how most bad shit happens, right? Most murders are just random. Honestly, there's a lot of, you know, I decided to rob this person or whatever it might be. But I don't know. It freaked me the hell out. I always keep my doors locked anyway, so I'm pretty good. But anyway, yes, we are reviewing The Strangers Chapter 2 today. But before we get there, we got plenty to talk about. Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Kayla had her tonsils, or not tonsils, her
wisdom teeth.
Wisdom teeth, yeah. She had those out on Friday, so we had a pretty chill weekend. You know, we got to watch the movies. We watched Together, which was fantastic. It was just such a good movie.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, because we won't do a full review here, but I watched Together as well. And, dude, all the hype, right? I heard it, right? People talk about Together. And I was excited, right? It's a body horror type deal, whatever. Kind of almost a melt horror is what it implied. So I was all sucked up in it. Man, it delivered. What a movie. It was incredible.
It was super weird. That's the first thing I'll tell you, is that this movie really like amps up the weirdness. Like,
it does.
And in a good way, though. It wasn't like stupid weird. It was like, this is really weird. There's no explanation for this. There's all kinds of strange shit happening. And then, like you said, it had a little bit of that body horror, a little bit of that melt concept to it. It was extraordinary. I will say that had we watched that, it would have been a pretty positive review for me. And I think that could make it into the top 10 for the year, perhaps.
I definitely think this is a contender when we get talking that. And I liked how they didn't, and this is not really a spoiler thing, so nobody worry. We try not to give spoilers for new movies, but they gave you a little taste of what was happening. They teased, they gave you a little taste. They kept doing that. But man, that third act, that final bit, that's where they let loose. And they really got you with it. And, you know, Monica expressed, I don't know if that, you know, that's not my thing. I'm like, yeah. This one, though, it's not what you think, right? It's not like Street Trash or one of those where it's just through the whole movie, it really does the body horror, the melt horror. It kind of teases it until you get towards the end. And it was just great, though. A lot of metaphors, a lot of just one of those movies that really, depending on your perspective, you could read a lot into. Done. So well acted. Bravo. So, all right, Together, what else did you watch?
I watched that movie Witchboard. I think we may have mentioned it at some point, but Witchboard is really good. It's a remake of a movie from like the 80s, maybe. But it's about a witchboard. It's not super deep in terms of concept, but it was a lot of fun. It was a good fun movie. I was a little worried that I was going to be stupid, but it was pretty decent. I'm glad I didn't spend money to go see it. I will say that, but it was fun. That's what I'll say. It was a fun movie. It's not winning any awards though.
Yeah, it's one of those movies I think initially we had talked about reviewing, and then it got bumped for something else. Probably for the best. That's okay. Not knocking the movie. You know what? Just silly fun, predictable fun is okay. No problems with that. I still yet to watch Wishboard. I plan to watch it soon. It's one of those movies Monica wants to watch, so we're going to watch it together. So we're kind of waiting till we, have the time to watch it together. But yeah, it's one of those that I feel just be one of those fun watches. Definitely more of a streaming type movie, which is okay, right? We've talked about it before. Streaming is the new straight to DVD. There's a place for that. There's no shame in that. There's a definite market, right? There's people that don't go to the theaters, and this is what they watch. So, yeah, I look forward to watching Witchboard as well.
Yeah,
So.
other than that, though, I don't think I really watched anything else. I think it was mostly just those two, and then I watched a couple non-horror movies.
All right. Well, let's see. I did, like I said, I watched Together. I did a rewatch of the Terrifier movies. I don't
Oh.
something. Something just stuck in my crawl when made me want to watch. I watched all the way from All Hallows Eve through Terrifier 3. Watched all four of them. Fun as always, love them as always. Just nothing. I mean, nothing new. Everybody knows how much we love them, how much we love Art the Clown, how much we love Damien Leone, David Howard Thornton, the whole crew. And this just reinforces such great movies, such fun movies. I love the blood and guts and gore. It's fun. Just gets me psyched up. Can't wait for four. I've also kind of prematurely started some of my what I typically rewatch in October. So I started kind of rewatching the Friday the 13th movies. So far, I've watched 1 through 3. And that's where I'm at on that. That'll continue on. That's always fun. That's just kind of a yearly thing I do. But then I guess the thing that maybe I want to key on is I did go and watch Bung Lake. Which was an AMC screen unseen, is what they call it. It's kind of watching a movie that's not yet released or whatever. We'll talk about it. Bone Lake comes out this coming weekend, October 3rd. And I thought it was a fun movie. I thought it was good, right? It had a little bit of gore. Kind of one of those. We're not going to do a full review or anything like that in the future on this, but it was one of those middle of the ground fun. Had some gore. But I thought it was a good story. Had some good humor aspects, and if I were rating it, I'd give it that 3, right down the middle. Definitely one of those movies that I could see, being in the right mood, rewatching sometime. So definitely a fun watch. So when it hits the theaters, I hope people will go give it a see. I know it's a limited theatrical release, I believe, but if it's in your area, I hope people will go see it and support it. If not, then I hope they hit it up when it's streaming because it's a fun watch. It's definitely a good little October watch, right? When you're in the mood for that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Bone Lake was all right. It was pretty good. All right then. Well, as this episode drops, will be October 2nd on the day of dropping, which is the first Thursday in October, which means it's time for trivia.
Stomp the co-host.
And trivia means we play Stump the Co-host. This is where Ike and I, we have identical horror trivia card decks. We draw two cards, which is four questions total. We alternate asking each other questions until we determine a winner. If there is a tie at the end of what we'll call regulation, the four questions, we continue on asking questions, further cards from the deck, until a winner is determined. Now, it is a little insignificant at this point. Ike has already won for the year. I think I have 1, maybe 2 years. I didn't look it up. 1, maybe 2 wins so far. I can't catch up. There's not enough time left in the year. So Ike's already won the yearly championship, but we're going to continue to play for fun. We hope you will continue to play along with us, or just scream at us for utter stupidity when we don't get the obvious questions. So Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I do think I am.
All right. I'm hoping I drew cards that you have not had. I sometimes get confused about which little stack in my thing is which now, because they're kind of even. But I will ask you first. So here is your first question. This 2010 movie involved unwilling participants in a Nazi doctor's sadistic experiments.
I believe that would be a human centipede.
That is correct, the human centipede. Again, I don't know whether I've asked you that or not, but who cares at this point? It doesn't even matter. All right, so there's 1 for Ike. So Ike, lay it on me. Give me that first question.
All right. So this is a quote, and you have to name the movie that the quote is from.
Great. All right.
All right, the quote is, "What's in the box?"
Oh, hell yeah. Who wouldn't know this? I mean, come on. I say this all the time. Just for reference, anytime a package comes or whatever else, I'm always like, "What's in the box?" This is from Seven.
That is correct.
What a movie, man. We talked about that, what, last week? Recently, there was an anniversary of it.
Yeah, I
Such a
think
good
last
movie.
week, for
Such a good
sure.
movie. Fun movie. I haven't watched it in forever. I need to rewatch that movie.
There you
All
go.
right. Here is your second question. This is a quote. Once again, this is a quote that you need to name the movie. Quote, "One thing about living in Santa Carla," which ought to give it away, "I never could stomach all the damn vampires."
Oh, that's is that Lost Boys?
That is the fucking Lost Boys. One of the
Cool.
best vampire movie of all time, in my opinion.
My Alexa just came to life randomly, so I don't know what's
Yeah, I heard
going
that.
on, but the robots are about to take over, I think.
That's right. She's trying to jump into the trivia game.
She is. Good Lord, scared me. All right. Well, now it's time for your second question,
All
unless
right.
Alexa takes me out.
That's right.
What attacks a group of teens in the 1986 movie Chopping Mall when they are trapped inside a shopping mall after dark?
Ooh, well, that is a shoe. Are they wanting pretty specific? Because it's a robot of some sort. Are they wanting more specific than just robot?
So it says robots, but there is like a specific type of robot. It's a blank robots.
Well, if I'm remembering right, and maybe I'm not. I want to say it was. Was it a cleaning robot?
So they were security robots,
That's right, security. No, we're not giving that to me. I remember that now. No, it's completely different. I remember that. Oh, how could I miss that? I love Chopping Mall.
that's a good one. It is a good one.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. So, all right, here is your third question. Speaking of good movies, what character is revealed to be the werewolf in the movie Silver Bullet?
Oh, I've never seen Silver Bullet. It's on my list. So I have no clue. John.
No, it is the priest.
Yeah. Never would have guessed it. Never would have guessed the priest.
Gotta watch Silver Bullet, Stephen King movie. Great movie.
Cannot beat a good Stephen King movie.
No.
All right. So your third question is, what 2012 film stars Ethan Hawke as a true crime writer and featured a demon named Bagul?
Well, this is not my wheelhouse. 2012 is not my wheelhouse, but I'm going to take a wild guess here. And I'm going to guess the house that Jack built.
Nope, that is Sinister.
Say the fuck. How did I not know that? 2012 is not my wheelhouse, but Sinister should have been. I've seen some. God damn.
So this is a good one. That is a good one.
This is why I have yet to. I rarely win this game. My recall and my patience and my OCD just, I don't know, makes it difficult for me to do this trivia, I guess. Here is your final question. In what movie does the government sanction an annual 12-hour period during which all criminal activity is legal?
That would be The Purge.
That would be The Purge. Correct. With that, you cinch the win today, but I do have one more question. For shits and giggles, let's just go ahead and have it.
All right. What 2016 film centers around father and son coroners investigating the death of an unidentified beautiful female corpse?
If I could not get these 2010 type movies, this is not my wheelhouse. I've seen a lot of these movies, but I don't rewatch these movies, and this is not good. This is just I don't even have an appropriate guess. What's the question? What's the answer?
It is The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I guess I should have, yeah, I probably should have known that.
I would highly recommend watching it. It's actually really good, and I believe it's either on HBO or Shudder, one of the two. but it's a really good one. It's very different than most like possession and ghost type movies.
Yeah, the bad thing is, I think I've watched it,
Really?
and it's just, I don't know, whatever it is. My sense of recall is just, I'm getting too old, I guess. I don't know, it's weird. But that's not in my wheelhouse, right? I'm too old to remember that shit. I need stuff from my past, the stuff I've rewatched a million times, whatever the case may be. You just added another month win to your already championship campaign for 2025. So that's right. There you go. So I'm surprised I've won any months. But so that concludes, excuse me, Stump the Co-host for this month. Let's take a very quick break. And when we come back, we will have news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, and whatever else we decide to chat about. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, so we got a couple good things coming up here. First things first, we have Jimmy and Stigs is now available video on demand. This was one of the movies that we were going to potentially review a while back, but I think that it was between this one and another one, and then like the showtimes got all funky. But we ended up going with the other one. But yeah, Jimmy and Stiggs is an interesting one that we saw a trailer for before Weapons, I believe,
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it piqued our interest. So hopefully we can catch it as soon as it goes on streaming. I'm sure it'll be on Shudder or Screambox pretty soon.
Yeah, it's one of those wacky kind of movies. It looks fun. I don't remember I believe it's centered around alien abduction, invasion, whatever that might be. Aliens in some way. I bet it's one of those kind of I don't know what you want to call it, like a Tucker versus Dale wacky horror type movie. In that vein. So it looks fun. It looks entertaining. And I'll definitely give it a watch when the opportunity arises.
Amen. Very good. Another really good movie that we have talked about before, but The Substance is coming to HBO Max on October 10th. It's been video on demand for a while, but it's weird to me that it's taken so long to get onto streaming. I imagine it probably has something to do with the rights for that. Yeah, so October 10th, you guys can catch out off The Substance on HBO Max, but that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm excited to rewatch.
Definitely. Cannot wait to rewatch it. I highly recommend, if you have not watched this movie, to watch it. Spectacular. So good. Everything about it. It just all the nominations it got, all the praise it got, so worthy. This is a great, 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 great movie. And when we get to our year in review, I don't know where this will lie, if it'll hit. It'll definitely be in the discussion and be talked about. No doubt about it. Such a great movie.
Very good. But I don't think we ever did we didn't review The Substance, did we?
No, it was weird. We didn't review it, but then we talked about it, I think, a bit later when we both watched it somehow or something. I don't know. It was odd. I don't know. Yeah, we didn't do a full review of it, but I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know. Something was there, I guess, that caught our eye more. The Substance is
Gotcha.
not one of those movies that, at face value, like you and I probably would have looked at and said, "Oh yeah, I want to watch that one. I want that one." I'm not knocking it, but I'm just saying that's. I don't know, maybe not our forte, but I don't know. I think we slept on it. That's our mistake. It's a great
Yep.
movie.
Absolutely. But very good. But we could talk about The Substance all day. It's a good little body horror type film.
Oh,
Kind
definitely.
of
Definitely.
similar to Together in some ways. Moving on to our other little bit of news, The Creep Tapes Season 2 will be premiering November 14th on Shudder. As you guys know, we are huge fans of the Creep series here. There's two movies and a season of the film or the series so far, and then the second series, of course, or second season coming out very soon. They talked a lot about this, actually. There was some news and stuff, and they've been doing promotional stuff too. I've been seeing some interviews with the main guy. I always forget his name, but
yeah, Mark something. What is his name?
Oh, Mark Duplass.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super excited. I love Mark Duplass. I love the Creep stuff. Just all of it's so great. So I'm very, very excited for more to come.
That's right. Well, hey, we may have slept on the substance, but we were always proponents of Creep in the Creep movies. We were talking about those from like almost day one, talking about how they're underappreciated. Something needs to happen. And then here they go with the series. And we reviewed the first series as it came out. And now they're getting to say, these are great, man. I love these. If you've not seen the movies or not seen season one, dude, you're missing out. They're great. I can't remember off the top of my head the names. There are some big time, I believe, guest stars for this season two, as far as horror.
Really?
I mean, yeah, lots of you know, because there's always like one at least one person, right, in each episode, right? The victim, the quote unquote victim, and there's some pretty good ones. And I can't wait, man. That first season was so good. The movies are so fun. I'm psyched. I can't wait. We knew this was coming. We were going to get this. I don't think season two is the end of it. I think it'll keep going. This is something that Shudder can just, I don't know. I mean, as long as Mark wants to do it, keep going with it. Why not? We've talked about series and how certain things can work in the Creep franchise. It fits perfectly.
Very good. And I did look it up, and at least one of the people who are going to be a part of season two is David Dasmalchian.
There you go, from Late Night with the Devil.
Yep, Late Night with the Devil. He was also Polka Dot Man and
That's
James
right.
Gunn's,
That's right.
What was it? Suicide Squad.
Yeah, there you go.
But
That's right.
But yeah, he's one of them. There's a whole list of them. Mark Duplass's wife is going to be in it as well. Their name is Katie Hazelton. And I went on a deep dive for them like a long time ago because I was like curious. Like I was like, oh, you know, what is Mark Duplass up to? And I was like, oh, he's married to Kate Leaselton. They've been married for like years. But do you remember that movie? It was called The Unholy. It had Jeffrey Dean Morgan in it a few years ago.
I do. Yeah.
She was in that movie.
Okay.
She had a pretty big role in that. And there's a bunch of other movies that she's been in as well. But that one specifically, I was like, oh yeah, I know her.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super fun. I can't wait. Love. I mean, we've talked about, like I said, we love the Creep stuff. So
Yeah.
Creep Tapes season two, bring it on. We're ready.
And this isn't in the news, but yeah, you know, Dave and I were kind of chatting about it. Cinemark has new popcorn buckets.
Yeah.
The Michael Myers from Halloween 2 with the bleeding eyes.
Yeah, the blood bleed.
So, you know, Dave and I are both residents of Florida. There are no Cinemarks in the state of Florida, as far as I can tell. But there's one in Mississippi, so we might be making a trip over to Mississippi soon.
Road trip. That's right. And but I do, yeah. If you don't have a Cinemark, check it out. Sometimes these places they do ship. You can order online and ship and whatever else. But yeah, this was kind of a rumored thing, was out there. There were some pictures. It's like, oh, is this real? Is this real? It's real. Yeah, it's real. It's supposedly coming out October, I think October 7th, something like that. And super psyched. I don't know why. Is one of the Halloween movies coming back to theaters, or at least the Cinemarks, for special showings, I'm assuming.
I'm assuming so.
Yeah, I don't know, but I want the damn popcorn bucket. I'm a sucker for this stuff. And bring it on. I mean, they know their target audience. I mean, I'm like, you know, it's like, oh, okay. But you put out a Michael Myers popcorn bucket, I'm like, huh, okay, it's Mike. I gotta have that. Give me a break. They know how to take my money.
They do indeed.
As
Also,
I sit here and look at my Scream popcorn bucket that they already took some of my money for.
They're
Sitting
like,
right
we'll
in front
take
of me.
just a little bit more money from you.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I was wrong. There are some Cinemarks in Florida, but they're all South Florida, like Orlando, or more Southern Florida, specifically nothing in the Panhandle, as far as I can
There you
tell.
go.
So,
Is it in
but
that weird ass inland Florida stuff that people always hear in the news?
yeah, like the armpit. It's
Yeah, people, I've not lived in Florida long, but when you hear the Florida stories, that's the weird inland people. I'm sorry
Yeah.
if you live in that area, but I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you. I don't know. It's like, why do you live in Florida and you want to live inland? Why not just like, hey, move out a little bit and live near a beach? It's weird. I mean, you're living inland where
It
there's a swamps and gators, but I mean, I guess to each their own. But typically, when you hear those stories, that's the people you're talking about. Those inland people. It's a little peculiar. Like
is.
I feel like us up in the panhandle, we're different. It's a little different up here.
It is. Honestly, there's a lot of people who live like in more southern parts of Florida who don't think that the panhandle should be part of Florida. They're like they should be absorbed by like Alabama and what's the other one? Georgia is part of the panhandles kind of here. But I mean, the panhandle is just a different kind of Florida. It's like diet Florida. You know what I mean? Like we get the heat, we
We get
get the
all the good
heat.
stuff but without the bad.
Pretty much. We don't often, knock on wood, we don't often get hit by hurricanes. We also don't typically get like, you know, we don't have crocodiles or alligators really.
Nah,
And we have beaches.
that's right. We got the great weather, a little bit from the beaches, lots of places to eat and enjoy. We're close to lots of, major cities, fun cities. I feel like we got the best of it all. And but I will say, I do. I guess I a little bit understand because, man, there are a lot of Southern accents in this area,
Oh
and
yeah.
it struck me as odd when I first heard them because I was like, whoa, where am I? But there's some of that, but that's all right. We're not making the news for like bath salt stories and shit all the time, I guess.
Yeah, true. But anywho,
I don't even
that's
know
enough.
how we got onto that, but
Well, we were talking about Cinemark's being
there
in
you go,
Florida,
Cinemark.
and
Yeah, that's right.
but in any case, we'll jump now to our upcoming birthdays. We got some good ones this week.
That's right.
So first things first, October 3rd, 1973, we have Neve Campbell, who of course is known for her role as Sydney Prescott in Scream, and she's also in Minecraft and all kinds of other stuff. But I mean, she's the original final girl from Scream and the Scream franchise. So can't beat it.
No, and coming back to Scream after being out, I guess it's one movie, right? She only was in, not in one, right? I think she only missed one.
I think so.
Coming back for, what is it, seven is the next one. Super exciting. But of course, to be fair, who's not coming back? I'm so enthralled to know what they do with this because it seems like everybody's coming back. But no, Neve Campbell's great. Obviously, great in all the Scream movies, great in The Craft. Craft, one of those movies that we always talk about being a little underappreciated from that time period. There are several movies that seem to be underappreciated. I don't know why, but they seem to be. And she's done a lot of other things. So she's very, very talented. And I don't know. I would love to see her, spread her wings and do some other horror stuff. But I guess she's probably at that point of her career. It's not going to happen now. But yeah, I mean she's known for Scream to me most of all.
No, I agree. I mean, that's like you say, you don't want to like pigeonhole actors, but I mean, come on, you can't look at her and be like, oh no, that's Michael, that's not Sydney Prescott. So,
Yeah, that's right.
in any case, happy birthday, Nev, and we can't wait to see you in the next Scream movie. And next, a living, or not a living legend, but a legend
No, yeah.
of
Not
the
living.
Halloween,
Not living.
not living, but they are a legend of just film in general, but
Oh.
of the Halloween franchise too. But October 5th, 1919, Donald Pleasance. Wow, Donald Pleasance was in quite a few of the Halloween movies. He was in the first two. He was also in four. I believe he was in five and six. I think he was in all of them but three, and then obviously none of the new ones. You know, Donald Pleasance's likeness was used in the new ones using CGI, and I think one of his kids maybe, and. Yeah, I mean, Donald Pleasance is fantastic. Dr. Loomis, easily one of the best parts of the first Halloween movie, and really to me is a fantastic character that you don't really see often in other horror movies, like a doctor that basically says, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna kill this guy."
And then again, a guy that had a whole career prior to being in Halloween, right? I mean, I don't know what all he was in. Not my kind of stuff, but he was in tons. Had a great career. But Hell, he'll always be remembered to me for Halloween and the Halloween movies and being Dr. Loomis. And he seemed to, I mean, he seemed to embrace it because he kept coming back and doing it, having a lot of fun with it. Yeah, it's, I don't know when he died, probably several years ago, but one of those guys that I would have loved to have met and had a picture with, because I mean, it's Dr. fucking Loomis. Come on. You don't get more iconic than that.
True,
I know that.
absolutely
I know the
true.
first Halloween, right? In the second, right? There's Laurie Strode. I get it. But man, come on. Isn't the real adversary, Dr. Loomis? I mean,
I
Strode
feel like
is,
it is.
yeah, Laurie's the target. Come on, who's the one trying to stop him? Who's the one chasing him, pursuing him? It's Loomis, right? Loomis is the quote-unquote superhero that's trying to stop him. He's the true adversary. Not knocking Laurie Strode. I love Laurie Strode. I love Jamie Lee, of course. But come on. The real adversary for Michael Myers in those first couple movies is Dr. Loomis.
Sure. I agree. I would have loved to see more of Dr. Loomis and maybe go into a little more detail, like his seeking out of Michael. And I feel like a lot of what we see in the movies is the first two movies are basically the same event, right?
Sure.
The same Halloween night. Everything else is just Dr. Loomis being fucking insane. I mean, this guy is literally like, he's basically like a crazy hermit.
That's right.
So.
I love when he retires, right? And the guy comes and sees him, and it's just like he never let go of the obsession. And he's always just, but it's right. It's like Laurie, right? Everybody that was close to it within the movie realm, they knew it was gonna, right? It's gonna happen again. So they were just waiting. They were watching. They were anticipating. And right, and in the new trilogy, the newest trilogy for Halloween, Laurie's more of a, she's more of the Dr. Loomis in those movies, and her daughter is more the Laurie Strode, right? I mean, it's right. Laurie's a bit of a target, but Laurie is the old wise, don't ever let your guard down because you can't trust that he's not going to come, kind. So I think she kind of grew into that quote unquote Dr. Loomis type role of being the Obi-Wan of Michael Myers.
Right.
And so yeah, it's a very important role in the movies that helped make them. Without him, I mean it's kind of thin, kind of shallow. And he I think he really made the movies.
Absolutely. So there you go. Happy birthday, Don Pleasance. Amen to. I mean, I don't know when he passed away, but I mean, he made it to all the way to curse the Michael Myers. So, God bless that man. God
Sure.
bless that
That's right.
But all right, we're gonna jump now to our next birthday. This is another good one, another legend. October 5th, 1952. Clive Barker, who wrote The Hellbound Heart, which is the novella that started the Hellraiser series. Right? And I'm not sure what all Clive Barker was really involved with that series outside of the first movie. But he gave us a pretty extensive, I don't know if extensive in the beginning, but at least it spawned into a really extensive universe. I mean, there's comic books, there's movies, there's remakes and remakes and remakes. I mean, there's all kinds of literature of Hellraiser, and it all started with The Hellbound Heart, which is the original.
Yeah, and I mean it's enough that he had his name associated early on, right? I mean, it's a lot of times you would see, Clive Barker's Hellraiser. So his, I don't know, if that was in his deal or what it was, but it was enough at the time to get his name associated with the movies early on. And I'm guessing at least in those early movies, right? I'm not a huge Hellraiser guy. I'm not a, I like Hellraiser, but I'm not, it's not one of my franchises of choice, and I'm not real deep in the knowledge, but I would guess early on Clive Barker was pretty involved in the aesthetics and the advisory position to the movies.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate, but I've never read the Hellbound Heart. It's actually
Yeah,
on
me
my
neither.
to read list. But yeah, that's not one of those books that you can typically just find in the library. I probably will have to buy a print off of the internet or something. But
Yeah.
anywho, that's great. Happy birthday, Clive. Hopefully we'll see some more Hellraiser in the future. But for now, we're going to jump to October 8th, 1943. A man who rightfully was born in the month of October, R.L. Stine, the author of Goosebumps. R.L. Stine, I mean, you know, we talked about a lot, and I won't dwell on too much, but you know, R.L. Stine is perhaps the start for a lot of people's obsession with horror. Goosebumps is a fantastic starting position for horror. I mean, you like Goosebumps, it kind of gets you more into the monsters and some of the cool stuff that horror has to hold. And I mean, Goosebumps was huge in the 90s, so
Yeah.
90s kids were all about it.
Yeah, I mean there's always something like that, right? There's the gateway stuff, right? The something that's age appropriate that, you know, kids will read or whatever, watch or whatever it might be. And if you really like it, right, then it spawns you to dig deeper and to branch out and to start seeing. And as you grow and grow up and get older, you start seeing more stuff. And R.L. Stine definitely for a generation was that, right? Lots of kids, I would argue, watched or read Goosebumps, you know, watched the show or whatever it might be, and from there dug deeper. And discover more, you know, horror. That, you know, that was their starting point. And that's why, you know what? I don't think anybody should can knock any of that because there is, we've talked about it a million times, right? There's definitely a place for age appropriate horror, for you know, tweens or whatever you want to call them, young teens. And something to get them to spark that interest. That's you know, not over the top, that their parents will say, okay, this is all right for you to read or watch. And so it's something to appease that desire. And then as they grow older, they grow into horror fans, full-blown horror fans. And they but they you know, like I would venture to guess you probably couldn't count how many horror fans got their start through R.L. Stine.
There you go. And I mean, R.L. Stine too, and this is something I was thinking about as you were talking. I was really like thinking you had all this series of books, Goosebumps. But before Goosebumps, he had the Fear Street books, and there was another set of books I think he did. Like, so he's been writing books probably since, you know, the 80s, likely. So he's probably impacted multiple generations of kids. And even further than that, there are still R.L. Stine branded things that are being released even today. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, right, there was a recent Goosebumps series, right? And I don't, it might have been the week you were out, right? There's the Pumpkin, or maybe it was last week, the Pumpkinhead movie coming out, based on an R.L. Stine. I think maybe you were here, but you know, he's still relevant. I don't think he's still producing original stories per se. I don't know, maybe he is, I don't know, but his work is still impactful, and it's still a gateway
Yeah.
for people. It's I don't I'm venturing to guess it's all still in print and able to, you know, you can walk into bookstores or go onto Amazon or wherever and find it. There's still kids that are reading R.L. Stine, and it's filling that void, filling that urge. And these are the people that are going to grow into horror fans and maybe horror producers, makers, directors, actors, who knows? I don't know. Don't knock it. This is just a very definite, important place for someone like R.L. Stine and that kind of material.
Absolutely. But all right, enough about R.L. Stine. We'll jump now to some movie anniversaries. First things first, we got October 3rd, 1980, Terror Train. If I remember correctly, this has Jamie Lee Curtis in, doesn't it?
Jamie Lee, David Copperfield. Yeah, fun movie. It's a New Year's movie, set around New Year's. Yeah, fun movie. I like it. So it's going to be there in the anniversaries because, first of all, it's Jamie Lee. Why not? But it's a fun movie.
Okay, fair enough. I've never seen it. It is also on my list. Yeah, I'll have to check that out sometime. Jumping now to October 3rd, 2014, we have Annabelle, which is sort of timely. A couple weeks ago, we had you know, We had oh crap, what is the movie called that we just
Conjuring?
The Conjuring. Good Lord.
La
Ooh,
Last Rites?
Conjuring Last Rites. I don't know why that was escaping me, but we had that not too long ago. Annabelle had a part to play in that movie. And yeah, so October 3rd, 2014, we had Annabelle. So it's crazy. It's been over a decade since that movie came out.
Yeah, and you know what? I like the Conjuring movies, but in my personal little world, I think the Annabelle movies are creepier because I don't like dolls. And I'm even more fascinated by the fact that the Annabelle, the real life Annabelle, is just a Raggedy Ann doll, which that makes it even creepier to me, actually. So yeah, I think it's a fun movie, right? They've done what? Have they just done two of them? Has there just been two Annabelles?
There's three. There's
Three.
Annabelle, Annabelle Comes Home, and Annabelle Creation.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. So I think those are fun. I don't know. I don't think creepy dolls ever lose their appeal in the movie world.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think creepy dolls are a are an everlasting mainstay of horror.
That's
And to
right.
prove that,
That's right.
we have October 3rd, 2017. We have Cult of Chucky. Cult of Chucky was one of the later ones where they started kind of pumping those bad boys out, and it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't the best.
Not
And
pretty sure it's a straight to DVD. It's
yeah,
okay.
like
Again, we talk a lot about Chucky, right? I like all the Child's Play Chucky movies to one degree or another, but there's definitively my favorites. Have we done a Child's Play retrospective? I feel like we have when that documentary came out.
I feel like we did.
Yeah, I think we have a Child's Play franchise episode in the books, but I don't recall, but I would venture to guess Colt is probably at the bottom.
I want to say that it was. I want to say that it was pretty far down, all things considered. But I don't remember how far down. So don't quote me on that, but you are correct. It was pretty far down on the list, as I recall.
I off the top of my head, I cannot think of one that I would like less. But I can see if some people like I can see it. It's just not my thing. I don't know. But I don't know. Again, I'm not going to go all into it. We've talked about Child's Play and Chucky, the relevant staying in the public eye. We've talked about that a lot. No matter what you think of the movie, you can't deny the impact that the whole franchise has had over the years.
True story. But very good. We'll now jump to October 6, 2009. Perhaps, maybe not anymore, but it used to be one of the most underrated horror films, perhaps of all time. We have Trick or Treat. We after many, many years, we are getting a sequel at some point. We're not really sure where that stands, but it'll happen eventually. But Trick or Treat is fantastic. It's an anthology film that happens on Halloween, and it's one of my favorite Halloween era or Halloween time movies to watch.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It's finally the world here lately has been catching up. It is probably one of the most merchandise films, which blows my mind because it wasn't a theatrical release, right? It was a straight to DVD. It is getting a theatrical release this year, though. I don't know if it's a one night, but a limited thing. They are showing Trick or Treat in theaters this year, which is in a big scale, I believe, the first time. But I mean, it's iconic. Come on, it's a Halloween iconic movie. Such a great character with Sam. It's epic, right? I mean, he is one of the greatest characters. I mean, no wonder they gets merchandise because he's so toyetic and everything. I mean, you could put him, make him in anything, and it works. And I can't wait to see what they do with the sequel and everything else, right? I mean, it's one of those movies I've loved for a long, long time. But yeah, I really feel like, yeah, the world's catching up, and that's good. It's great. I mean, it's been a slow burn, but yeah, it's finally there.
There you go. But yeah, we'll keep you guys in the loop though as soon as we get more information about the sequel, just specifically so you can be thinking about that, because we are waiting, chomping at the bit for that. But until then, everybody go out there and watch Trick or Treat this Halloween season.
That's right. Every year it's a rewatch. How could you not
Amen.
rewatch it?
But speaking of rewatch, something that you rewatched recently and I want to rewatch too. October 6, 2022, Terrifier 2. Oh man. Again, we could talk all day about Terrifier, so I'll try not to, but Terrifier 2 is great. One of the best I would say slasher-esque movies or just general gore type movies that have ever existed. A lot of fun. And of course, you know, we have a lot of love for the people who make these movies. So love it so much.
That's right. I mean, yeah, like you said, I'm not gonna talk. I mean, we talk about that all the time, right? Everybody knows how much we love the movies. Whether you love them or you don't or whatever, you got to admit that the Terrifier franchise is a modern classic and has established a new horror icon in Art the Clown. He's starting to achieve that level of crossing over where people are recognizing him. He's getting merchandise more and more and more all the time. Two was a big success. Three was a bigger success. We're anticipating four, which is supposed to be, at least for the time, the conclusion. Cannot wait. But yeah, two was great. Two was the movie that took it from being took the franchise from being a slasher to it's definitely still a slasher, right? Definitely still that, but gave it so much depth, so much backstory, really gave it a lot, and established most of the lore and what we know, you know, from the Terrifier franchise. Now, it's the Terrifier 2 is the one that's getting the figures and everything else, the Funkos. And most of these, they come from Terrifier 2, right? Everything has all the iconic looks, or Sienna and Art with the sunflower glasses. That all is Terrifier 2 stuff. So, and I mean, I love Terrifier 2 so much, but it's one of those that I don't know. If we ever do a Terrifier franchise episode, I don't know how I'll do it. I don't know how I'll rank them, because given the day, I love different ones different ways. It's so it would be so tough, but two's a classic to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a classic, but like you said, it is a hard ranking because, yeah, the Terrifier 2 sort of has its own merits compared to the other two. So I hope I never have to make that decision.
I love three, though. It's like three is like, it felt like it got, I don't know, it was weird. It's like two established all this lore, all this story. And then three is like, okay, we can get back to just fucking killing people. And it still built on the story, but it didn't feel like it had to establish as much. And I don't know, it's wild. And we tweeted from our, while I was doing the rewatch, from our official accounts recently about in Terrifier 3. I mean, the Chris Jericho, I mean, everybody talks about different things and the salt and bleach kill, right, and everything else. Man, come on, the Chris Jericho kill scene was pretty damn good in Terrifier 3. And it's still a classic. And, I have mixed emotions about Chris Jericho, but he was on the mark spectacular in Terrifier 2 and Terrifier 3 in his part. So, again, I don't know. We're rambling. I can get stuck on Terrifier forever. You and I could just do a Terrifier podcast just on that alone, because I'd never tire of talking about Terrifier. Whatever. It's a good time to watch these movies. Terrifier 2 takes place at Halloween, so it's a good time of the year to watch it.
Yeah, I think Terrifier 1 also takes place near or around Halloween.
It does. Yeah, that's right. 1 and 2, not 3, though.
Yeah, and All Hallows Eve, if you want to watch the
and Halloween, yeah, that's right. Which it's, I'm telling you, it's still a fun movie.
It is.
It doesn't really. The cool thing about it is, right, it establishes the Art of the Clown, but it doesn't take anything away from everything. It's not like they had to rewrite. I know they reused a little bit here and there, but it's not like it contradicts the other movies. I think it's very much part of the franchise that I think people overlook. I know it's a different guy, Mike, I can't remember his name, Generelli, something like that.
Yeah, I always forget his name too.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, you know, I know David Howard Thornton perfected it, took it to a new level. But, Mike established it. He established the foundation for David Howard Thornton, and he perfected it. But you got to give your props to Mike in All Hallows Eve for playing him and laying that foundation of what Art the Clown was. Again, I know we're veering off again, right? We're supposed to be talking about Terrifier. This is what we do with Terrifier. So, we'll cap it, move on.
There you go. The last movie anniversary is October 8th, 2013. We have Curse of Chucky. Curse of Chucky was definitely better than Cult and whatever the other one was that kind of came out, or I might be misremembering, but Curse of Chucky is okay. Again, I don't know if this ever got a theatrical run. This might again be another one of those straight to streaming, but or straight to DVD at the time.
Yeah.
But it was decent. It was a little farther up on the list than Cult of Chucky.
Yeah, I don't think Curse. Yeah, Curse is better, in my mind at least. And but yeah, I don't know. Again, it's one of those things where, I can't say I hate any of them. I have ones I like more than the others, but I watch them all, and there's redeeming qualities in each one of them. There's something to watch. So, I don't. To me, Child's Play, the Chucky, me. It's all worth a kind of a franchise rewatch every now and again, because each one has something that's worthy of watching.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of them are lost causes.
I 100% agree. Never a lost cause when it comes to Chucky, but for now we will jump to our upcoming releases. We have two. First things first, we have VHS Halloween coming to Shudder on October 3rd. It is described as a collection of Halloween-themed videotapes unleashes a series of twisted, blood-soaked tales, turning trick-or-treat into a struggle for survival. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. Dave and I are huge, huge, huge fans of the VHS franchise, and it is damn time for them to come around and do a Halloween-themed episode. I mean, you put VHS, you put Halloween, we're in.
I'm telling you, here's the thing. I've been itching for the Halloween season, right? And we all, you and I, people like us that love this stuff, right? We're always in that Halloween mindset year round, right? But when you get to this time of year, you really get into it, right? There's stuff in stores and the movies pick up and whatever. This movie coming out October 3rd has always in my mind been like that kickoff to Halloween for me. It's like I've always had this thing of, there's some stuff coming out. There's some good things. Halloween's coming up. I'm excited, right? The Spooktober thing. But God, October 3rd, VHS Halloween comes out. That really kicks off the season. And it's kind of like been that benchmark for me. I'm telling you, VHS, they've almost single-handedly turned me around on found footage films. There's been a few others that I've liked, but I love the VHS stuff. I've said it before, each one, their topic, their whatever you want to call it, has just been better than the previous for me. That they're doing a Halloween one, shit, that's right, whatever. Come on. Do we even need to do a review? I mean, I don't know that I can be. I don't know that I can. I don't know. It's like I don't know. Can I be unbiased leading into this? Am I going to see it? I don't care. It's VHS. It's a Halloween movie. Whatever. Come on. Next week's going to be just fucking fun. When we, I mean, we're officially kicking off the Halloween season in a big way. That I can't wait.
No, I was going to say, I don't think that. I think this is going to be a very biased and very partial review for your VHS Halloween, but I think that's okay. I think that's it's deserving.
Yeah, it feels like back in the day when you were excited for the holiday specials on TV or
Yeah.
whatever. What this is what that feels like. This is like a holiday special, and October 3rd it comes out where you can watch. That's what this feels like. Prior to, right? This is a holiday special that you finally get to see, and it's exciting. I can't wait to watch this thing.
Absolutely. But you'll check out our review next week, guys. Make sure you come back for it because it'll be good, I
That's
promise.
right. And make sure
And
you watch it before you come back.
yes. You gotta watch it so you know what we're talking about. I
That's right.
can't just ignore
Support
it.
this thing.
Amen. But very good. We have one other release though. This is a good one. We have Good Boy coming to theaters October 3rd and is described as a loyal dog moves to a loyal dog moves to a rural family home with his owner, only to discover supernatural forces lurking in the shadows. As dark entities threaten his human companion, a brave pup must fight to protect the one he loves most. So this one actually had some really interesting reviews and stuff. Some people who've seen it already, a lot of good stuff, obviously. But this is from the dog's perspective to some degree, and that is interesting to me. I think that would be a really good, really cool concept.
Yeah, this is. I feel like we've been talking about this for a long time. I feel like this came up long ago about this movie, a horror movie from a dog perspective. And then nothing came of it. And here lately now, I have seen the trailer a few times before movies. And I got to say, I've seen the movie several times now, or the trailer, excuse me. And every time I see it, I think, God damn, this looks good. And I love the fact that if you watch the trailer, I don't know if it's on the trailer you watch online, but if you watch it in theaters, they put a quote up there that says one of the most emotive actors, or I may be paraphrasing, one of the most emotive actors of current times, regardless of species. Because this dog does a great job. And I don't know how much is camera, I don't know what it is. But first of all, I love dogs. This is a handsome dog. He's such a good boy. That's the title. He's such a cute guy. And he's so loyal to his owner. And he's trying to, I mean, and I'm looking forward to seeing this, but all I got to say is if they hurt the dog, which I don't think they're going to, but if they hurt the dog, man, I may fucking revolt because I hate that shit. The more I hear about this, the more I see the trailer and things, the more I think, man, I think they've got something here. It seems very unique. And I think this might be one of those movies that years from now, people are going to appreciate even more when they look back and think, man, they really did something special and different here. So don't miss out on this while it's here. Be one of those people that years from now can say, I watched it in the theater. I was on board from the beginning. So go see Good Boy, because I really, my gut says, and my gut's pretty good, I really think they've captured some lightning in a bottle with this one. I think this is going to be unique and special.
I think so too. I think that is a very apt description of the movie. So, but everybody go check that out. We would definitely be reviewing this movie if it were not for VHS Halloween, which just is a step above it for us.
Yeah. We're biased on that one.
We are. But in any case, we'll try and check out Good Boy 2. Maybe if we're able to, we'll talk about it next episode. If we can watch it as well, but we'll see. No promises. And that should do it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of The Strangers, Chapter 2. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and welcome back to Listen to the Screams. It is review time. We will try to keep this a little succinct, because we always ramble a lot in the news stuff. There's just things that spark our mind. But anyway, we are reviewing The Strangers, Chapter 2. If you go into the archives, we did review The Strangers remake when it came out. But this is Chapter 2. This is the one we were very curious about on what they would do. Right? We said this. The Strangers was the movie they had to make to reestablish the franchise, kind of retell that story. This was the one where they got into original material. What would they do? The movie was written by Alan Cohen and Alan Friedland, directed by Rennie Harlan, starring Madeline Pesch, Emma Horvath, excuse me, and others. It was released in theaters on September 26th, and it only grossed $5,900,000 domestically, which to me, I'm a little surprised. It is the lowest grossing Strangers movie on opening weekend. I hate that. But it was good for number four for the weekend, but I really wish people would have went out a little more, because again, I'm not going to go too deep into this because I don't want to give any spoilers. I didn't know what to expect of this movie going in, right? I had mixed emotions, and I've expressed this, where I was like, how do you take a movie like The Strangers, and how do you try to establish and tell backstory, which to me, in my mind, ruins what was special about The Strangers, right? That evil just for evil's sake, that not knowing, I mean, it's called The Strangers. How do you dive deeper into the quote-unquote strangers and still keep what's spooky? You know what? I don't know. I haven't seen any reviews. I haven't seen people's opinions on this. I have to say, I fucking love this movie. I thought the chapter two was better than the remake. Again, we reviewed the remake. I didn't hate it, but it was one of those movies like, eh, I like the original better, but I understood why they had to do this. I had no problems with the people, the acting, anything else. To me, the test was chapter two. This movie, to me, amped it up, right? It was violent. Everything they did where they dove into backstory and they explained these things, they did it very, very well. And this cryptic, I don't know the right word that I'm looking for. They didn't give you too much information where it spoiled the concept of the quote unquote strangers. They gave you backstory and they focused on one character in this one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a little bit too, primarily one, but there was a second one that tied into that. Anyway, they focused in on one a little bit in the second one, but they didn't give you so much that it completely unraveled. They just gave you all the flashbacks, gave you enough that, okay, I see why these people are what they are, but yet you didn't feel like it took the mask off of them and revealed, quote unquote, took the mask off. It, to me, I don't know. They walked that line of giving some backstory, telling some of the reasoning behind, while still keeping them very mysterious and cryptic in a way. It's a weird game to play. I think they did it well. Again, this movie picks up right where the first leaves off. It's just, and I think I'm assuming the third does as well, because they filmed all three at the same time. I'm assuming this just goes right into the third. I love that concept. I was intrigued to watch two. I'm excited to watch three now, because it's like, I want to know more. I want to know more about this. There's a lot of questions coming out of two, right? They answered some, but they established more. I'm trying to not give away. You feel like there's a bigger concept here, a bigger picture. I could be wrong, but you have that vibe. At least I do. So I'm curious if that is true. I don't know. This just to me, it had that vibe of The Strangers. They didn't break the bank on that creepiness and whatnot. They do reveal, is it Tamra? The name they ask for, Tamra? I believe it's Tamra. They do reveal why it's Tamra, but they do it without making it, I don't know, it's weird. I don't know how to describe it. They tell you why without making it such a big deal that it's,
right.
You know, it's like, okay, oh yeah, okay, I get it. But it's not like it's, oh, it blew my mind. It's very subtle, which is what this movie is. I'm trying. It's so hard to walk that line. I'm not giving spoilers. I enjoyed this movie substantially. Do I think it redefined the genre? Nah, I don't think that. It was super fun, though. I enjoyed it more than the remake. I don't think it's still as good as the original, because the original to me was groundbreaking. It established a new feel for these kind of movies. But this was definitely, to me, it felt like the movie they were building to, the story they wanted to tell, and they finally got to the point where they could tell their story. You can very much feel that they had a big picture story in mind at the beginning, and they got through the backstory and what they had to tell to establish everything. And then when they got to their story, that they wanted to tell with these movies, I think they did a good job. I it didn't perform at the box office as well as I would have hoped. That's just me. And I don't know what people are saying about it because I've not looked. But guys, if don't sleep on this movie. This movie, I thought this was a ton of fun. And I appreciate the movie. I know I was all over the place. Again, I'm trying not, it's hard to not give away stuff and sing my praise for this. But I thought it was fun and I enjoyed it. So Ike, do you have anything to add?
I think the big thing for me is watching the first movie, and this is very important to me, and I think this should be very important for all people. Watching the first movie, a lot of people should not judge where the series is headed by the first movie. I think that's a big reason why that it perhaps performed under or underperformed, perhaps. Because I think a lot of people saw the first movie and they're like, okay, this is just rehashing old shit. We don't want to worry about this. But Strangers Chapter One was the movie they had to make, right?
Yeah, it's not a Halloween movie. Not everybody knows the backstory. They had to reestablish this universe.
Exactly. Because you had Strangers, the first one from all the way back in like, I think like 03 or 04. And I mean, literally had Scott Speedman and Liv Tyler. I mean,
Yeah.
that's 2000s peak right there.
That's right.
But,
But that's a long
and then
time ago.
it is. That's why it was like 20 years ago at the time that they made the movie. And then you also had the Prey at Night, which was fine. It's a slasher movie, I guess. But it also was like 10 years ago. So you have at least a decade of time where there's been no Strangers movies. So they have to reinvent these characters a little bit, reintroduce them, and get them back into the social zeitgeist. So Strangers Chapter One was that reintroduction. Strangers Chapter Two is them actually edging into original material. And that is what we were really looking forward to. And that's what Dave and I have been saying from the beginning, is that two is going to be really where they take off. This is going to be chapter one was the landing platform. Chapter two was them actually taking off. And hopefully chapter three is them successfully landing this proverbial plane. And I think that that's exactly what we did with chapter two. I do agree with everything Dave said. It was a great movie. It did more than I thought it was going to do in terms of like the content, some of the minor reveal type things, some of the minor backstory. And that's the thing too, is we really want to emphasize that it's nothing major. They're not throwing out any crazy definitive details. It's a lot of minor ambiguity that kind of gives some details, and that's really all there is to it. But it really, to me, it's setting up for chapter three. Chapter three is going to be the penultimate chapter of this trilogy, in my opinion. And I think that's what we're really going to look towards. Chapter two is great, but I think chapter three is going to be even better.
Yeah, I definitely don't think you can't judge this at all by chapter one. Again, like we said, we've stressed, we've said it over and over and over. They had to make chapter one, right? It's we're not talking about pop culture icon characters here where they could just jump in and everybody would be good. Everybody would know who they are, regardless of if you've seen a movie or not. They had to retell and give some background. And so don't judge anything by chapter one. And again, I don't think chapter one's a bad movie, but I am a bit of a Stranger snob because the original I think was so good and it scared the shit out of me. So I wasn't super high up on chapter one. I didn't think they did a bad job, but it was like, eh, didn't do it for me. But I understood and I accepted the fact that you know what? We weren't getting into this for chapter one. That's probably why they filmed all three together. Because, I mean, there's obvious financial reasons as well. But I mean, chapter one was just that, we got to do this. Let's hope it does okay so that we can do chapter two and three, which hopefully are, bigger successes and who knows what. And I don't know. I love chapter two. Guys, I know, I whatever. I'm just a guy who talks on a podcast. Whatever, but I'm super disappointed with 5,900,000 because I really wish this would have done better. I mean, this even finished behind The Conjuring, which I'm not knocking The Conjuring Last Rites, but it that's been out for a couple of weeks now, and I mean, come on, the Strangers should have been able to knock that down a spot. So guys, don't I don't know how far our reach is. I mean, I do within certain aspects. But if you've not went and seen it, if you were on the fence, go see the movie. It's fun. It's better than the first one. They've taken it in a good direction. They've not ruined anything yet. Don't worry about all that. Go see it in the theater. Support this movie. We're getting chapter three, but I don't want these two to not succeed and that be it. And the strangers be dead. You know, if we get two and three, I want to see, whoa, if these are successful, what can they do from there? You know, they could, who knows what it could do, right? We've talked about series and everything else. The Strangers to me could be adapted over to a series very, very easily. And there's lots they could do, but if they're not successful, we're not going to get any of that. And I think they've got something with this. Again, I love Chapter Two. Thought it was better than the first. I thought it was a really solid movie, very fun. I'm not saying it's top five material for the year, really per se. That's not a knock, though. I could think of it being in that discussion, floating around the bottom of the top 10 a little bit. But so still, that's pretty good, right? Because we've had some pretty strong movies. All right, I'm rambling, but guys, my point being, if you didn't go see it, if you're skeptical about it, go see it in the theaters. And I hope if you've seen it, it would warrant you to maybe have an interest to go see it again. Support this movie. I really think they're moving in a good direction here. I thought it was a lot of fun. So let's get to ranking this thing again. Not rewriting any genre, not reinventing any wheel. But they're taking what they have established within the Stranger's realm and doing some positive things. But I will say that I think it is slightly better than Middle of the Ground. So I am giving The Strangers Chapter 2 a 3.5 out of 5, which, if anybody knows me, that's pretty good. I'm very, very hesitant to give anything a 4. And any movie that I just find fun, I typically give it a 3. But I think this is a notch above. So I'm giving it a 3.5 out of 5. So Ike, what say you?
I would also give it a 3.5 out of 5. Like you said, I think the first one, I want to say we maybe gave it a 3. If I'm recalling correctly, it was very middle of the ground for us, I feel like. But I do think that this one went a little bit above 3.5, seems very fitting. But here's the hoping that number 4 or number 3 is a 4.
Yeah, who knows? Again, I'm very, very excited to see three, and I don't think we have to wait too long, which is a good thing. So, guys, go see the movie if you have not already. It's a fun thing, and again, I think this is a movie that will really probably find a home when it hits streaming. I think this will be a big time streaming release, but I would really like it to see it do a little more in theater. So. Speaking of streaming releases, next episode, like we mentioned, we are reviewing VHS Halloween, which is coming October 3rd to Shudder. I'm super excited. Can't wait to watch this. We will be talking all about that next episode, so tune in for that. We'd like to say thank you to our wives for all of your support in everything we do, and to you listeners and followers for your support as well. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on all the podcast platforms. Just search for Listen to Screams or Listen to Their Screams. We're pretty easy to find. Our pictures are all over the place. You'll find us. We post all of our stuff we talk about on the show, plus more. So go give us a follow and interact with us. We will respond to comments. We will respond to messages and whatnot. If you see something cool, don't be afraid to tag us in it. We like that kind of stuff. If you're out there having fun, if you go see Strangers Chapter 2, you have a good time. And you want to post a picture of yourself with the Strangers 2 poster? That's cool, man. Tag us in it. We want to see you having fun out there watching horror movies. We are very positive guys here, and we love seeing people having fun with this movie genre that we love so much. If whatever podcast platform you're listening on, make sure you do subscribe. Hit that to auto download so you don't miss any episodes. And if the option is there, do a rating and review because that helps us in those algorithms. When people are listening to other similar podcasts, we come up as a suggested listen, which might pique some interest. So it helps us out. So do that for us. Just takes a minute to give us a quick rating and review. Hopefully you enjoy what we're doing. So before we close out, Ike, anything else you want to add to this episode?
Oh man, honestly, big thing this weekend, just go out and support horror movies. I mean, we're in Spooktober finally. We got stuff on streaming that you can watch. We have stuff in the theaters you can watch. Make sure you go out there and in some way, shape, or form, do something spooky. It's the first weekend of October. Dave and I are going to a haunted house this weekend.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we should have mentioned that, right? So, yeah, we're hitting that up. And now that we live in the same area of each other, we get to do some of this stuff together. We are, that's right, hitting that this weekend. So a full report, and we'll talk all about that next week. That should be super fun. And again, another reason to follow us on social media, because I'm sure there will be some videos and pictures come this weekend of us at this attraction. We will plug them and everything else. Guys, we say this every season. Go support your local haunts. They're everywhere, right? There's a lot of passionate people doing lots of great things, putting on lots of haunted houses and corn mazes and whatever else out there during this season. Please go support them. They are a very important part of this genre, and they are a lot of fun, and they just add to it, right? A lot of us are so passionate that we wish we had this kind of stuff year-round, but, you know, you don't. And when it comes to this time of year, it's like Candyland to us, where we get to go and see this thing, right? Ike did Halloween Horror Nights, a couple weeks ago on his trip. We're doing the haunt this weekend. Ike and I have a couple other things planned for the next, a few weekends in coming. But everybody's got stuff out there. Even if it's timid, right, just going to a pumpkin patch, whatever, go out there. Have some seasonal fun and enjoy the Halloween season, because, man, we only get this once a year. Don't let it slip you by. And like we said, if you are out there, if you're doing these things, tag us in your posts, tag us in your pictures, because we love to see people out there enjoying this season. And it's just fun. So, but again, subscribe, follow us, excuse me, follow us on social media. Listen to the screams, or listen to screams. This weekend, there'll be plenty of pictures and videos, I'm sure, of Ike and I at this haunt. I haven't been to a haunt in a while. This ought to be interesting. We'll see. We'll see what it entails. So watch social media for that. So all right, then, let's close this out again next week. This is October 2nd when this drops, so we are within October. And then next week, we will be knee-deep in it, because we will talk about visiting that haunt. We will talk about VHS Halloween. So we are knee deep, if not waist deep, in a Halloween season. But until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.